Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the 808 Podcast. It's a podcast where we take business owners, CEOs, marketing directors, whoever else I feel like, four questions, 8 minutes and 8 seconds, because 808 looks like Bob, and here we go. Question number one, in a few sentences, tell me who you are and what do you do?
Hi, Bob. I'm Raj Singh. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Loop Team. Loop Team is a virtual office for distributed teams. We're trying to recreate that feeling of working side by side when you were physically in an office, but now in a distributed sense.
Perfect. Love it there. Question number two, Raj, what advice would you like to share? Go.
I thought it'd be helpful to share a little bit about some of the best practices in and around remote work. We're obviously all living through it right now. Mm-hmm. There are many configurations of remote work, and I don't want to necessarily go through each of the permutations with each configuration. So I really wanted to focus in on what they're calling hybrid, which is what the vast majority of sort of Fortune 500 and other organizations are leading into, which basically is some chunk of the office is, or some percentage of the employee base will be at the office and some percentage will be fully distributed. This particular configuration is by far the hardest remote work configuration. And the reason is you have an inegalitarianism. You have people who are at the office who have natural advantages because they see each other, they have more team camaraderie, they go out after work. And then you have those folks that are remote that may feel more, quote, out of the loop, which is actually the genesis of the company that has started here. And so, you know, there are a number of sort of recommended best practices and things that you can think about. I'll kind of walk through them here quickly. These are not necessarily all set in stone. Right. And everybody has to obviously evolve and, or not necessarily evolve, but apply in what works best necessarily for their organization and culture. But I think these are some things that I've seen that I think work well. The first thing is the tools. A lot of companies that are moving into some kind of hybrid or starting to endorse remote work in some capacity just does not simply have the software stack in place to best support that. Now, I'm not talking about simply messaging using Slack or Microsoft Teams or conferencing over Zoom or WebEx, whatever it might be, but your project management tools, are they optimized around collaboration? Certainly having some sort of documentation tool beyond maybe even Google Docs, things like Notion or other forms of wikis like Slite can be super valuable, because when you go distributed, more communication is asynchronous. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that more stuff gets written down. Virtual whiteboarding tools, collaborative design tools like Figma versus standalone design tools like Adobe. All of these sorts of things can make a big difference in creating more of that sort of collaborative, egalitarian sort of feel in a globally distributed team. I think the second thing is creating a culture that feels more just simply egalitarian or equal. And so what I mean by that is often you have the folks at the office doing offsite events or whatever it might be, but those that are remote aren't able to participate. So how can you make sure that each teammate gets the same benefits, which includes healthcare or whatever, but vacation and whatnot, how you can be respective of each teammates in each country's holidays and vacation schedules in a way that it sort of feels egalitarian across the team? How can the swag and events and all that's planned allow for participation for those that are remote? So critical that you can create a culture that's sort of inclusive to all. And this goes as far as even the meetings themselves. People adopt tools like Owl's webcam, which will focus in on different people in a meeting. So it feels like everybody is remote, even though some people might be in the office. Or I've also heard of companies actually breaking out everyone in the office into separate rooms so they join the meeting as if they're remote. Right. The third thing is making sure you have frequent one-on-ones with the team. This is already critical if you're in the office, but when you're distributed, it's harder to get that kind of tacit feedback that you miss. You don't physically see everybody every day. And so it's really important to have one-on-one scheduled across your team at multiple levels on a more frequent basis so you can get that feedback. Right. Next, you should also make sure you have time for water cooler kind of conversation. This is something that's lost. It feels forced to schedule it, but this is simply some of the best ways I've seen it done. There are 2D map type tools that you can use where it feels like you're walking around a virtual world and you can have this sort of spatial audio kind of experience. But basically making sure you allow for some time to do that. I think the next thing is your company should be very supportive of setting up a proper area for you to work from home from. Whether it's a co-working space or physically at home, having a designated space to work huge benefits, hard to sort of quantify. And I think the sort of last thing here, and of course there's many other things, but we only have 8 minutes and 8 seconds. But the last thing here is it's very important to see your team on some regular cadence. So scheduling opportunity for the team to get together, go off site, whatever it is, 3 or 4 times a year is critical to facilitate some of that team bonding.
Love it. Love it there. Let's get to question number 3. It is time for shout outs. Raj, who are you shouting out?
You know, I'm a big fan of biographies. So when I was thinking about this, I was just thinking about some of the books I've read. Each book has its own sort of impact on me. And a lot of these are names that people are already familiar with. So these aren't, there's nothing special or unique here, but you know, like just some examples, like the Steve Jobs biography showed me how manic he was about design. And it never made me realize that everything can be looked at from a design perspective, even the shelf in your room. You know, when I read Ben Horowitz's book, The Hard Thing About Hard Things, that truly gave me some new insight and confidence around the special knowledge that you have when you're a CEO of a company and you ultimately are the sort of decision maker in the end. You're the one to blame if things don't work. You're the one that has to share success with all when things do work. And so, you know, very sort of interesting perspective. Jack Welch's biography gave me new insight into OKRs and management. I'm a big fan of some of these business books written by top leaders. And I think others should, you know, you have to draw your own sort of takeaways as you read through them.
Perfect, perfect. Let's get to question number 4 with 1 minute and 40 seconds left. Tell me about your first sale.
You know, I was thinking about this question too, and I thought it would be interesting to share my first sale of my first company. Okay. So, you know, I've had many startups over my career. And my first startup, I dropped out of master's at Cal Poly in 99, 2000, to start a company. It was right during the dot-com crash, but you know, no fear. You're 21 years old and you do it. And, you know, I started a file sharing company, and this was during the era of Napster, for those that are old enough to remember, when you didn't have things like Spotify, but you would actually search and download music. It was quite illegal, but doctrine wasn't very written in stone at the time or whatnot. And it recruited some of the top kids out of the computer science department, didn't do our summer internships, built this company, was doing great. Got the cease and desist orders from the Recording Industry Association of America. That led to a whole nother thing. It was scary times. There was people we knew getting sued for billions of dollars for running file sharing companies. In the end, you know, we didn't make it for this sort of number of reasons, mostly out of fear and arrogance and sort of cockiness and ego that comes with the age of 21 and 22. We were fortunate that there was a local company that was in the MP3 encoding space. And this is just when...
Well, hey, Roger, I got to interrupt you because you only have 15 seconds left. I want to make sure you get some promo time in.
Sure. Yeah, no. So the company, my company is called Loop Team. Build a virtual office. It's at loopteam.co. And we're about making people feel like they're in the loop and feeling connected.
Love it. You pulled it off on the nose there. 4 questions in 8 minutes and 8 seconds. Raj, why is it 8 minutes and 8 seconds?
Well, because it spells Bob.
It does. It does. Your website, say it real quick.
loopteam.co.
In the description, it's magic. Raj, thank you so much for being on. Tip of the hat to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. For everyone else watching or listening, I'm legally required to tell you to like, share, comment, subscribe, thumbs up, ring the bell, whatever the heck the social media network tells you to do. You all have a good day out. Talk to you later. Bye.